Okay. Now we're talking about the Christian walk. The Christian walk. We need to find out who I am in Christ. And then now, how do I grow up in Christ? First, we need to die to self-effort. Self-sufficiency, self-adequacy, self-strength. We need to die. We do need to put death and keep death at the point of death. Keep self at the point of death. Realizing that my goodness is as filthy rags. The best shot you and I have ever made, the best thing, you know, we've done in the flesh is as filthy rags. Didn't impress God a bit. You know, all those things we looked at the first day, that big job and all that money and all that talent, not a thing, not one of those things impressed God one bit. We take death to the self. Let's see. Now let's take a look here. Here is our soul. Three parts made up of the mind, the emotion, and the will. Now I like to draw right in the center of man's being, his spirit. And it is in man's spirit that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell. So we have the Holy Spirit right in the center here. Now, when we begin to give God every bit of us, and we're willing to die and take death to ourself, our self-strength, our self-effort, our self-adequacy, I sort of call this a band, a shell of self that sort of holds the Holy Spirit in. He's not flowing out like he wants to. So when we take death to ourselves and we ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is released into the life. This is what Watchman A says. He says this in The Release of the Spirit. And the have you ever wondered what's filled when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? The mind and the emotion begins to be filled with God. Did you know that in Luke 21:19, we are commanded to possess ye your souls. Possess your souls. Here is the Holy Spirit, and oftentimes we just don't let him in every area of the life. And when the Holy Spirit is given rule in the life, what's he do? He begins to go to different areas of the life that he's not been in control of before. That's why when some people decide to go all the way with Christ, all of a sudden things may get worse for a while. In fact, all hell breaks loose. For the first time that person becomes a threat to Satan, that's one thing. Up to that time, they've just been going down the river with Satan, you know? And why should Satan bother them very much? But the Holy Spirit's released in the life and they begin to go upstream, and he becomes a threat. That person, spirit-filled Christian, becomes a threat to Satan. Satan begins to have some blockages, put up some barriers. But also, there are strongholds within the person's life. And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, wants to possess these strongholds. Clean them up. Such as lust, bitterness, rejection, hurt, pride, infirmity, anger, fear, all kinds of fear, fear of man, insecurity, deception, strongholds in the life. So when we are walking in Christ, it's good for us to identify the blockages are the strongholds in our life. That's really what we've endeavored to do a little bit of yesterday and today. In the area of rejection, we showed you how pride and lust grew right on out of rejection. How this guy had to prove himself. And so he lied, and so a stronghold of deception and lying began to grow. He had to prove himself and his manliness, and so before you know it, a stronghold of lust and moral impurity began to grow. We need to identify the strongholds in the life. Now, let's, I think we'll just use, we'll develop a stronghold, okay? Let's develop a stronghold here before our very eyes, all right. We'll do a stronghold of failure. Okay, a stronghold of fear of failure. That young man was born into a home where he wasn't loved, he wasn't wanted. All of those feelings that mother had and dad had toward him, and the negative feelings, hundreds and hundreds over a period of time began to be imprinted on his mind and in his emotions. What a person thinks, his thoughts, begin to affect his feelings. Thoughts and feelings determine the way he acts. And the actions over a period of time begin to determine the habits that are in his life. And the habits turn into a way of life. A way of life. Now, if you're going to break a stronghold, first we need to find out what the stronghold is. So here we have many different... He can't do anything right, this fella can't. He's rejected by his folks. He's made fun of by his peers. He feels inferior. He begins to fail in different areas of his life. There's poor performance. There's no open affection. So he begins to feel rejected. He begins to feel like he can't do anything. He begins to feel like he's stupid. And a lot of different things can come out of this. But here we've got, we'll call it insecurity. A person like this begins to feel very insecure and a stronghold of insecurity. Now he begins to react. They shouldn't treat me like that. How could they do this? How could they do that? So he begins to have thoughts of resentment and thoughts of revenge. He begins to have these feelings well up in him, and the thoughts and the feelings begin to explode in words and actions. He begins to be hateful and have revenge and rebellious. Before he knows it, he begins to do this all the time. It's a way of life, a habit, and becomes a way of life. So over here we have a stronghold of hate that has grown. Not only hate towards mother and father, but it begins to attach it to other people, anybody that gets in its way. Now he's a person that wants to be loved. He wants to be accepted. He gets mad at those that don't accept him, so bitterness begins to come. But he begins to know, well, now if I just play like I've done this, and I'll get in trouble if they know I did that, so I'll lie about this, and I'll lie about that, and I'll lie about the other. Besides, the drugs isn't all that bad, and so he begins to dabble in this and dabble in that and begins to lie, begins to cheat. A stronghold of deception begins to grow, begins to build. No devil's out here, and he pushes all kinds of circumstances to encourage a person to hate, to encourage a person to be insecure, to encourage a person to lie. In fact, he'll even give a couple of lies himself. like, you're no good. Now, he may say it through a person, or just maybe a thought. Have you ever had a thought come in your mind and say, golly, lots of times we just believe everything that comes in. Do you know that the devil has access to your thought? He does. He has nice access, and he can move in there, give all kinds of thoughts. Your folks don't love you. Your folks didn't want you. They never did. So you get a lie about who I am, that I'm not wanted and I'm not loved. So you have these strongholds beginning to grow. Let me give you another stronghold. We'll call it moral impurity. Here we have the eye gate. Here is a young boy. And this could be a girl, this could be any one of us. Grows up in a neighborhood. Peer pressure to have some experiences in the area of sex. Maybe just touching. Maybe just play. Maybe just curiosity. And we have some impressions on our mind. Well, that's interesting. Maybe he was aroused. So he moves, and maybe he was just 3 years old or 5 years old or 7 years old. And then he begins to see things on TV, begins to see things. He finds a Playboy magazine, and he begins to look through the eye gate, begins to look and see pictures. And then he begins to hear stories. And you can see how a moral impurity, a lust, begins to well up. His thinking arouses his feelings. Eventually he begins, and he may keep it in the thought-feeling area for a long, long time and just fantasize and think over and over, I want it to be like this, I want it to be like that. Oftentimes, fear will keep a person from acting, but over a period of time, finally breaks out, and there begins to be some action. Then, of course, when there's action, then he's got to cover it up, so you've got deception again. You see how all of this sin relates one to another? When you begin to sin in one area, you can't isolate sin. Say, well, now that's just a little cancer. That's not too bad. We'll just keep it right there. No, it begins to spread all over, and it'll affect all of our areas. Well, I'm just going to be mad at him. I'm going to love everybody else. Well, before you know it, you're not only mad at him, but you're mad at him and her and critical of everybody because it begins to take over. Well, this is just a little sin. I just read this book once a week. That's all. No, we got to be finished with sin. In order to be finished with a stronghold, you got to be finished with sin. So here's a person, he begins to read the books and look at the magazines, and maybe he does a Peeping Tom and mind fantasies, and he begins the bull session and the stories. He begins self-manipulation. He begins to go to movies. He begins to date. He begins to pet. He begins to be very intimate. Moves on into fornication, maybe adultery. Before you know it, you have got a very big stronghold. Now, he may have done it. The main thing might have been the desire to be loved, to be accepted. And he found someone who would accept him, and he found a way that would give him security, even in his mind. So he begins to move and do sexual things, but the main problem was insecurity. And he thought, I can get security in that way. Did you catch me there? Did you see what I said? The big problem became moral impurity, but what really motivated initially the moral impurity was insecurity. He wanted to be loved. He wanted to give love. And this seemed to be a way to do it, and he did it in his mind. And, of course, the release and the fulfillment was very inadequate, so you got to do more and more and more and more and more. Now, what we're doing is building some strongholds, showing you how they build. Now, we've got to discover them. What are they? What are the strongholds? Then, We're going to talk more about this tomorrow, but I think I'll just throw it in at this point. The devil is very real. Just like Jesus Christ is a person and the Holy Spirit is a person, the devil is a person. He's spirit, but he's a person. And the demonic, the demons, are persons without bodies. They're spirits without bodies. And the lesser demonic forces without bodies like to have a body in order to express themselves through. And oftentimes they will take on man's moral weaknesses. For instance, hate, pride, lust, fear, witchcraft, occultism. And so forth. They take on man's moral weaknesses. So they see this person over here that's full of hate. And the spirit of hate looks at that person and says, look, they are just like me. They think like I do. They feel like I do. They act like I do. I have a legal right to them. You see, it's all a legal battle. A demonic force cannot come and do anything he wants to at will. Absolutely not. He has to have a legal right to oppress and to push and to harass. Here's a person full of hate, and the spirit of hate says, I have a right to him. And so he begins to oppress him very, very, very hard. And somewhere along that line, if that person's really into sin and he's not confessed this hate, that demon comes and it can attach himself. They can attach themselves to a part of that person. Now that word is to be demonized, or to have a demon. That demon cannot possess this person if it's Christian, because the Holy Spirit lives in a man's spirit, and the demon cannot come and take a man's spirit if the Holy Spirit is there, but it can attach himself to a part of the person in the soul area, mind or emotion area. Now this is a very important distinction. Now, it doesn't make any difference a whole lot to me what you call it, whether you say, well, they're oppressed or they're demonized. What I would really like for us to consider is that we can be strongly influenced and we need to know how to handle it. Okay? We can be strongly influenced and we need to know what to do about it. And they will attach themselves to the strongholds of sin that we have allowed in our life.